I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about a portion among the great. Taking a look at a passage of scripture from Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12, talking about how it was God's will to crush Jesus, that it actually pleased God to crush Jesus, his one and only son, so that he could bring us back, we could have life in him. But it says, after Jesus suffered, that Jesus is given a portion among the great. And this idea, we've talked about this throughout the year, that God is great. Jesus is great. He's got a portion among the great now. And we can take our positioning in him. We can abide in him, that God wants to make us great as well. And one of the keys that we can know that our lives are on track, I believe, is that that greatness of God is flowing through us so that we begin to make other people great as well. So we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, to examine ourselves before we get into our time of communion for today. But let's get started. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I thank you for releasing us from darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. That the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about our four fundamentals. And as my daughter likes to remind me frequently, you got to put the fun in the fundamentals. You got to make them fun. You got to bring some energy and excitement and presence and focus into these fundamentals. People often say, oh, I'm doing the same things. I'm repeating things. It gets boring. If you bring energy and fun and you begin to master these fundamentals, you move into higher levels and intricacies of these things that you never knew existed. This whole new world begins to open up. The kingdom of God begins to open up to us as we master these four fundamentals. Positioning in the light, taking our position in the light, magnifying that light, staying tuned in today for God's leading and direction, and then taking action, doing the things that you know to do, putting it into practice, walking these things out. Let's talk about our first one, getting position in the light. This is the on-off switch. We got to get the lights turned on. This is what turns on the supply, turns on the flow of everything in our lives. And these four things can help us take that position. Number one, forgiveness. Staying positioned in forgiveness. We receive forgiveness from God. We forgive ourselves and we walk in forgiveness with other people. God's let some things go for us. We got to do the same for ourselves and for other people. And that forgiveness and love has to flow through those three levels. Received from God, forgiving ourselves, loving ourselves, forgiving and loving other people. And the motivation behind all that forgiveness was love. God's love was the motivation behind it all. We're going to see today, Jesus came for us to give us life. The motivation behind it was love. Receiving that love from God and truly walking in it and experiencing it, to take your position in his love. Jesus says, remain in my love. And then loving yourself, as you experience that, begin to love yourself the way that he's loved you. And then let that flow through you out into the world where you begin to love other people the way that he's loved you. And we get it flowing out of us. And then we can take our position in the light through gratitude and praise. Gratitude and praise. All this is received from God by faith. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is gratitude and praise. Now remember, this is the on-off switch. Either we're positioned in forgiveness and love, or we're not. It's black or white, on or off, hot or cold. Either we're positioned in forgiveness and love, or we're not. There's no in-between. The same goes for gratitude and praise. Either we're positioned in gratitude and praise, or we're in complaining mode. And we want to keep the lights on all day. We got to work at sustaining this throughout the day, because all throughout the day, things are trying to pull us out of this. And what I would tell you is we've got to work to sustain this, because it's not worth it to step out of forgiveness. It's not worth it to step out of love. It's not worth it to get into complaining. Why? Because you shut off your access. When you step out of the light, you shut off the access to everything God has. In Christ, God has given us everything he has, this amazing inheritance, these amazing gifts of grace. He's given us his spirit, and all this is in a covenant. God has given us this unshakable covenant of peace and love that he will not change. We just take our position in the light, and all of this is available, his spirit and his power, his presence, his love. Think about it. His peace and his joy can be flowing. You can substitute his for yours. Instead of your peace and joy, you can have his peace and joy and love flowing through you. You can have his mind and wisdom. You can have his health and his energy flowing through you. The Apostle Paul says, I worked harder than anybody, but it wasn't me. It was God's energy who so powerfully worked within me. We can have his time, his finances, him doing the work. We can rest and he can do the work. Everything he has is in there. And then we're going to begin to magnify the light. So I like to think of taking our position as the on-off switch. We get the supply flowing. But then we got to begin to magnify that light, to make it bigger and greater, to give God a bigger area to flow through. We got to expand the capacity where more can flow through us at one time. And we're all magnifying something every day based on what we're focused on. What are we thinking about? What are we talking about? What am I meditating on? And just think about it this way. You're already doing it every day anyway. We're already magnifying something every single day. And just change in the focus. Let's begin to magnify the light instead of magnify darkness. Now, the other thing that I think this does, as you begin to magnify the light, it gets God's word and his love and all these things rooted and grounded in your heart. It gets established in there. You get established in this covenant that he's given us, where you become more fixed and immovable and unshakable when things are going on around you. So how do we magnify the light? We can magnify God's word. Just be thinking about and rolling over his promises in our mind, to be studying his word, giving his word a bigger place and priority in our lives. And just be thinking about, talking about, pondering and muttering his word all throughout the day. We can be magnifying his unfailing love. The Bible talks about we can put our hope and our trust in his unfailing love because he'll never let us down. We can magnify his faithfulness, that he's always on time, that he always fulfills his promises, that all the promises in Christ are yes and amen. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We could magnify his mighty works, that nothing's impossible for him, that he can make all grace abound to us, having all sufficiency in all times and all things. We can abound to every good work, and we can be generous on every occasion. just begin to magnify the power of God. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ, that Jesus became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God, that we've got right standing with God. We've got peace with him. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. He wants to help. He has this eager desire to help us, to do good for us. We can magnify what he put within us. The Bible says we have treasure in jars of clay to meditate and to magnify every good thing that he put within us. We can magnify and focus on what's going well and all the things that are lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. The Bible tells us to set our minds on these things. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's just choosing not to focus on them, to choose to magnify God as bigger than the problems. You've probably had the experience where you got some issue or problem, and the more you think about it, the more you meditate on it, the more you roll it over in your mind, the more you talk about it with people, the bigger that problem seems to grow on the inside. It begins to get magnified. You've probably experienced this. We can just turn the tables and do the same thing with God and begin to magnify him as bigger than the problems. And this is a practice. All of these things are just daily practices. And the more we grow in these things, the more skilled we become at them. I believe the more breakthrough you're going to see in some things. Now, God does give us the choice, though. He's not going to force us to take our position in the light. He's not going to force us to magnify the light. We could choose the way of darkness. We could choose to just magnify and meditate on all the ways we've been wronged, all the evil things people have done to us, all the things that could have or should have or would have happened, all the issues and problems. We could just stay stuck in our past from all the bad things that have happened in the past and not be willing to move forward because we think there's no hope for it. We could be just paralyzed because we're stuck worrying about the future. Just an uncertain future. Maybe we dread some things in the future and we just stay stuck paralyzed in the present because we're worried about the future. We could just be sitting there toiling away in our mind, just stewing on the problems, just meditating on the problems, trying to figure everything out, trying to work every angle of the problem, making our pro and con lists and trying to solve it all in our own minds. But there's a better way. And whichever one we're positioned in, whichever one we're magnifying is going to have some symptoms. And this is where we got to get good at recognizing the symptoms. When we're in darkness, we're magnifying darkness. Everything feels heavy and oppressive, like there's all this pressure on you to figure it out, to make it happen in your own strength. It might feel hopeless for your situation, like you're trapped or you're stuck. Your energy levels begin to diminish. A great symptom of being positioned in darkness and focusing on the wrong things is your energy levels begin to lower. Then there's the fear and the stress and the worry and the anxiety. Dread of the future, confusion about which way to go or which step to take. Maybe you're stuck in some sort of vicious cycle or bad pattern that just keeps repeating over and over and over and over and over and over again. But to be positioned in the light, to be magnifying the light, number one, there's rest in your soul. There's rest in your soul. And all of a sudden, as you rest, you get more secure, you get more present, as you rest in his love. You get more present. All of a sudden, as your presence increases, you begin to see everything that's around you. Think about darkness is all of the colors. The color black is all of the colors bound together and absorbed in. The color white is all of the colors bound together, reflected back out. So when we're in the light, we become much more externally focused because when I rest in my soul, I stop worrying about figuring out all the problems. Stop worrying about how I'm going to take care of myself because I'm trusting in God to do that. And all of a sudden, I become so much more present. And everything feels free and easy and effortless. My energy levels begin to rise up. My faith and courage begin to rise up in me. Then there's that peace that surpasses all understanding. It's God's peace flowing through you. Then you have God's joy. You have the joy of the Lord that is your strength begins to flow. You've got hope in any and every situation. All of a sudden, you get these aha moments, these flashes of insight where you just know that you know that you know this is the thing to do. This is the thing to say. This is the direction to go. And as you consistently stay positioned in the light, one of the amazing things that happens, And I'm always amazed by this, but bad habits, bad patterns, cycles that you've been stuck in, just begin to effortlessly break, just begin to effortlessly fall off you, even though you're not even trying to. You're just focused on God, and all these things just begin to fall off of you. They begin to break off of you, and He begins to set you free and set you free and take you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And you're just growing effortlessly and at a very rapid rate. That's where we got to get good at recognizing the symptoms. Because the good news is it only takes 1 second to turn it around. You recognize, wait a minute, I'm off track here. This amazing gift of grace, it just takes 1 second to turn it around. And if we'll learn from it, every time we turn it back around and we get repositioned, we'll come out of it better than we went in. Because life is trying to pull us out of this all the time. And if you'll consistently just keep turning it back, every time you turn back and you learn from it, you'll go back in better than you went out. It's just changing our focus in a very simple prayer to get turned back. Father, forgive me for getting stressed, for getting worried, for magnifying that issue, for focusing on the wrong things. Thank you for your unfailing love for me. And then just start praising Him and thanking Him, start magnifying Him. And it turns literally in 1 second. All of a sudden, all those symptoms of the light just begin to flow all of a sudden. It's this amazing gift of grace. And then we got to stay tuned in. As you're positioned in the light, you get so much more present and you become a better listener when you're more present. We stay tuned in for God's leading and direction each day, because every day He's trying to lead us to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. But we got to follow His leading and direction. So something I like to do every night before bed is just with a pen and paper, just slow down for a few minutes and ask this question. God, what is it you're trying to show me today? What did I learn today? Is there anything you're trying to get across to me today? Anything that I missed? If so, would you please repeat it back to me so I make sure I get it? And then you record your journey. You just write down whatever you hear. One of the most important steps. You talk about a portion among the great. I think one of the keys to greatness is recording your journey. Just recording your journey with God day by day. Because one day those are going to be very valuable for you to be able to look back on, but for you to pass on to other people and show them the path that God took you on in your life. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day. And if you're ever unsure on which direction to go, which step to take, what the next thing is, just ask. Every single time He will show you. I'm amazed by this. Every single time He will show you. And you will get to this place where when He shows you, you will know that you know that you know that you know that this is the right step. This is the path forward. This is the thing to do right now. And every now and then He'll give you these times where it seems like He's not showing you what to do. And what I've learned in those cases, ask Him this question. Are you leaving this decision up to me? Often He wants to train us and develop us into learning how to make our own decisions. And if you've prayed about it, you've asked Him and you haven't had anything for a couple of days, ask Him this question. God, are you leaving this decision up to me? And in those cases, what I've learned is He's often saying, make a decision and I'm with you. I'll back it. I'm with you. If you're about to make a big mistake, I'd let you know. If you're about to do something majorly off, I would let you know. Think about a little kid going to their parent and says, Dad, which way should I go? What's the right decision here? And he says, well, you know, it's important that you learn how to make your own decisions, how to choose the right path. So what do you think is the best way to go? And by the way, I'm going to be with you. Whichever way you go, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you. So it's going to be okay. If that kid was about to make a just horrible decision, he was asking his dad for help, don't you think he would direct him back onto the right path eventually there? He would say something if he's asking for help. And then once you know what to do, it's time to take action. What do you know to do today? Maybe you have a to-do list of things. Maybe there's some things in your conscience popping up like, oh, I know I need to do that. I keep meaning to do that. I've been procrastinating on that. I know I need to take action on that. I know I need to walk in that. I know I need to do that. Those are all God's way of speaking to you. Those are His way of trying to show you the things to do. Then he gives you some leading and excitement or just direction on which way to go. Just take action, put them into practice quickly, and then do them together with God. Do it in partnership with him. Do it with him, with a willing heart, with a good attitude, in full confidence in him. He might ask you to take some steps that you don't know that you can take on your own. That's where it's important to have that confidence in him, that he's with you. He's going to flow through you. He's going to help you to make it happen. And as you do this, it's going to do something like magnetize you, where it begins to just pull more and more of all that God has for you into your life. In the world of science, when electrical current begins to flow through a wire, it turns the wire into a magnet. As you receive God's grace and his love and everything he has, and you get it flowing through, you begin to magnify it in your mind and in your emotions, and you begin to feel it flowing through you, and then you begin to take action. You stay tuned into him and you begin to take action. All that grace and goodness begins to flow through you all the way out into the world, and it begins to magnetize you. This is something new I'm still learning about that God's been teaching me, but I know that there's this magnetization that happens. So let's take a look at this, a portion among the great. I just want us to meditate on this scripture for a little bit today. I was just reading through this and it just began to speak to me because there's a portion today about, there's a section in this today about a portion among the great, talking about Jesus. And when I began this year, one of the things I've began to do every year is to seek God. What are we naming this year? What is the theme of this year? And in 2021, the theme that came through was the year of greatness. And in my book, The Eighth Date, we talk about how God is great. He's the source of greatness. We're supposed to be becoming more like him. He wants to make us great. He made Abraham great. He said, I'm going to make your name great. He made David great. And we see here, he makes Jesus is probably already great. I don't know exactly how that works, but he's giving him a portion among the great. And we can take our position in him, where we also have a portion among the great. As I'm thinking about this, I have this reminder. I had a former client of mine in my personal training business, whose father had a lot of very successful businesses. And every single business that he had had partners in it. And the way he handled the finances among those partners was that whenever they had profit in the businesses, they would have a certain portion that they set aside to save, a certain portion that they set aside to invest, a certain portion that they set aside to give and for people that needed help. And then the remainder of that was divided among the partners. Each partner got a portion of the profits that were left. And to think about this, talking about dividing the spoils today. As we move into this place of greatness, we take our position in Christ, we move into this place of greatness with God, we take a portion among the great. We share in the spoils of it. So here's this passage from Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. This is coming right after it talks about in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. By his stripes we were healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He bore everything on the cross for us so that we could have this life that's connected back to God. That all those things that are found in the light that we're talking about are made available because of what he went through. It was God's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. It pleased God to crush him, some versions say. To crush his one and only son. Why did it please him to do that? Because he saw what was beyond the cross. He saw all this that we made available, that we would come back to him. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life. So after Jesus has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Now, the Bible also talks about, in Peter, I believe it says, don't be surprised at the fiery trial that comes upon you when you first believe. There's some suffering that we go through when we first come to Christ and we're working out our salvation. There's some fiery trial that often comes upon us. But on the other side of it, after we've suffered a little while, the God of all peace, he's going to begin to restore you. There's this pattern in scripture, you see. When you first believe, there's some trials and some suffering that happens, but on the other side, the God of peace will soon restore you and crush Satan under your feet. He'll see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. So we've been justified freely by his grace. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. Talking about Jesus. And he will divide the spoils among the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It's all talking about Jesus here. These are prophecies made about Jesus in the book of Isaiah. So, Father, we're going to take communion over this today. We just thank you. You were willing to do this. Jesus was willing to go through this for us. That you loved us so much. That it pleased you to crush him and cause him to suffer so that we could have life. Pleased you to crush him and cause him to suffer so that we could have life. And he justifies us, makes us right with you. He bore our iniquities. But you gave him a portion among the great. And as we take our position in him, Lord, I believe that we also have a portion among the great as well. And Father, we're asking for your help to make us great like you and to give us this portion. We're asking for this portion among the great that's found in Jesus, that's found in Christ. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And they said, "Take it. Receive it," that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight. You've got a portion among the great. You take your position in him. We didn't earn it. He earned it. And now we've been given this tremendous gift. We have a portion among the great in him. Divide the spoils among the strong. Thank you, Father. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. See, when Jesus was in the garden, before he went to the cross, he said, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me." He's talking about the cup of God's wrath, I believe. The cup of God's wrath was poured full strength. It pleased God to crush him onto his body so that we could have the cup of his blessing. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. And I was just reading just the other day in Isaiah, just a few chapters earlier in Isaiah. It talks about how this covenant, God's covenant of peace and love that he's given us in Christ. It talks about this in Isaiah a few chapters earlier. I forget the exact scriptures. But this covenant of peace and love is unshakable. God cannot be shaken in this. He's not going to remove his peace and love. He's made a covenant commitment to it. And it's unshakable. He will not change in it. A covenant of peace and love. Just think about the implications of that for our lives. How this covenant, this partnership with God, where he's promised, "You're going to have my peace and my love all the time, and that's never going to change." That's a truly amazing gift. Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. So now it's about walking it out today. Stay positioned in the light. If you're in the light, you have a portion among the great. Keep magnifying the light. Pay attention to those symptoms. If you ever get off track, you turn it around quickly. Stay tuned in today for God's leading and direction, and put into practice. Take action on those things that you know to do, and do them cheerfully and joyfully together with God, full confidence in Him. Keep doing that day by day. He's going to lead you to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.